Good morning. Let us direct our attention to the words of our Lord in 1 Corinthians 5, selective verses beginning with verse 1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. If you're on a baseball team, and your team isn't really doing that well, it's very easy to start blaming and grumbling about what other people are doing bad, what they need to work on to make the team better. But that's not going to help the team. What would help the team is if you sat down and looked at the things that you could work on to help the team. And then hopefully your example and your encouragement would lead others to do the same thing. The problem at the church at Corinth was not just the one player. It was the whole team. Now, admittedly, this person was guilty of sexual immorality so vile that even the church at Corinth, which was famous for its sexual abandon, found it repulsive. But the real problem with the church was still not just this one person, but the arrogance and pride of the whole church that allowed him to continue in this sin and even encouraged him. They were, as Paul says, puffed up. They were so filled with their presumed self-worth and their heightened knowledge that they had thought there was nothing wrong with what they were doing or what that man was doing. Yet, as the words puffed up imply, their boasting was based on nothing. It was empty. They were full of hot air. They desperately needed to remove the great plank of sin from their own eyes before they would be able to see clearly to help this man with his sin. And that's the way it is among us also, and within your home congregations. The problems among us aren't with just a few people, you know, the troublemakers. The people that attend church infrequently, the ones with the foul mouths, the ones that don't show Christian love, the ones that always have to have their way. It's with the whole team. And that is what you are. You have one common purpose and one common goal: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, to love your neighbor as yourself, and after this life to receive the crown of life. And the Lord has given you each to one another to help towards this goal. The problem, then, is with each and every one of you. We are all sinful and we are all flesh, which means that we find it very easy to always say that the problem is someone else's fault. Well, this person would do that. Why isn't the church getting clean? Oh, that's Mrs. Smith's fault. I volunteered twice this year. She hasn't volunteered in a long time. Why don't we have new members? That's pastor's fault. If he would quit preaching at us so much and start doing mission work, then we'd have plenty of new members. Why do we always have money problems? Well, if Mr. Green wouldn't spend all his money on nice cars and vacations, we wouldn't have any money problems. Why is there so much evil gossip among us? Oh, that's Mary's fault. She never passes up an opportunity to spread evil lies. Why is there so little Christian love among us? Oh, that's those popular people's fault. They wouldn't even talk to people like me. When we think like this, we are first of all not helping the team at all. But we are also acting just like the Corinth congregation. With us, as with them, this sinful leaven spreads to the whole lump, to the whole church, to the whole group. We are looking at the problems and sins of other people and saying what they need to do instead of sitting down and looking in the law and seeing our own sin and what we need to work on. You need to remove the plank of sin from your own eyes before you can see clearly to help your brother, who is your team member, to remove his. The removing of your sinful thoughts, habits, and deeds, and dedicating your life to God in sorrow over your past sins and in the joy of your forgiveness is the first step to removing the problems that are among us. Hopefully then your example and your encouragement will lead other people to do the same through the power of the gospel. And if it doesn't, you will then be able to see clearly to help them with their sin. Remember, sanctification begins with you, not your neighbor. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Old leaven makes bad bread, and our old man makes bad fruit. This is why we need to daily sit down in contrition and repent over the sin that has spread through our life. Yet is this not a hopeless task, to clean out all the sinful leaven from our lives? If I gave one of you a spoon and a lump of dough that had been rising for an hour and asked you to take out all the leaven, would you be able to? Of course not. To get rid of the leaven, you'd have to get rid of the lump. And that's the way it is with us too. To get rid of the sin in our lives, we'd have to get rid of our flesh. So has God given us a hopeless task? Yes and no. As long as we live, we will struggle with sin, and we will need to daily sit down and repent and remove that sin. But yes, you truly are unleavened. You truly are free from sin, not just symbolically, because Christ, your Passover lamb, was sacrificed in your place. Because of Christ's blood smeared over you, when God's sight passes over you, He does not see the sin that is spread throughout your life. He sees you as a perfect loaf, because Christ took that sin and that punishment for you. So then, with this forgiveness, and with the peace which God only can supply, go and sin no more. Amen. Conclude with singing hymn 464, all stanzas of hymn 464.